Kof Shvat, Monday the 13th of February, Rabbi David Salzbacher, Career on Seeing the Kosel.
Good morning. How often do you go to a shir and you hear the person say, oh, there's a famous Gemara, and they quote a Gemara and you've never heard of that Gemara?
Very
and it's the most embarrassing and annoying thing. The famous Rambam, you've never heard of that Rambam. I promise you, Rabbi, that everybody has heard of the Gemara I'm going to quote today. It's arguably the Gemara which has learned more than any other Gemara ever. It's the Gemara at the end of Makkos. And how can I say it's learned more than any other Gemara? Because so often, if someone wants to make a Siyum, Makkos is sort of a Masechta which is manageable and invites his friends to the Siyum, and they learn that last piece of Gemara, a very famous piece of Gemara. Gemara brings about the five Tanoim. Two stories, we go to the second story. Shuv pa'am achas hoy oylin liyushalayim. Five tanoim, we're going up to Yerushalayim. Kivet shehigiyu laharat sofim. When they arrived at Mount Scopus, koru bigdeim, they did kriya. Kivet shehigiyu laharabayis. When they arrived at Harabayis, then they saw a fox running out of the kochim. Kochim, they started to cry, the bakiva started to laugh, and that's the whole Gemara. But I want to bring out the halacha of this Gemara. The Rabbeinu Gershom, when he discusses this Gemara, explains that what these Tanoim did, what they tore their clothes when they arrived at Harat Seifim, is not just a Midas Chasidus. That's the Halacha. The Halacha requires a person, when he sees Yerushalayim b'churbono, when he sees Yerushalayim not built up, the mitzvah to do Kriya. And that's what they were doing. And it's a Mefurash Gemara, in Moed Kotzon, Chavov Amud Beis, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, about the places and the occasions when a person's chayev to do kriya. There are actually three occasions when seeing something connected to the churban, when a person is chayev to do kriya. First one is, Ore Yehuda b'churbono. If you see the cities of Yehuda, we'll explain that in a minute, b'churbono, you're chayev to do kriya. The second one is, what we've just mentioned now, Yerushalayim b'churbono. And the third occasion is the Beis HaMikdosh b'churbono. All three occasions require a different kriya. So the Tanoim here, we're talking about that middle one. When they arrived at Harat Seifim, they saw Yerushalayim b'churbono, they did kriya. The first question I want to ask on this Gemara is, why didn't they do Kriya on Ore Yehuda? As they arrived towards Harat Seifim, why didn't they do Kriya on that first thing, going through the cities of Yehuda, which were destroyed? And we can give a very simple answer to this. I sat down yesterday, did a bit of research. I sat down with the head of JNF from England. How often have you quoted the head of JNF in the shir? So he showed me a map of exactly where Yehuda and Shomron is, where the cities are. It's very possible that these Tanoim, as they were arriving towards Harat Seifim, they came either from the east or northeast. The Ore Yehuda is to the south. It's the hills going towards the Yam HaMelech. That's where the Ore Yehuda is. So it's very possible they came to Harat Seifim from the other direction, and they didn't even go through Ore Yehuda. What about today? What about today? This halacha is brought in Shulchan Aruch, the first halacha Tov Kuf Samach Aleph, Horoyeh Ore Yehuda b'churbono, the person sees the Ore Yehuda in its destruction, Koreya, he's chayav to do Kriya. Has anyone ever heard nowadays of doing Kriya on the Ore Yehuda? So one of the classic svarim on all the halachas to do with Eretz Yisrael is from Reb Tukachinsky. And he writes two reasons why we don't do Kriya on Ore Yehuda. First one is, we don't know exactly today where the cities were at the time that we could do Kriya on Ore Yehuda. Today, Gush Etzion, that's the area of Ore Yehuda. We don't know exactly where those cities were. In other words, theoretically, if we did, we would do Kriya. If you come to an area where there had been one of the great cities of Eretz Israel, we would do Kriya, but we don't know exactly where it is. The second reason he gives is, even if theoretically we did know, But the halacha is like this. If you see Yerushalayim b'churbona, and afterwards you see one of the Orei Yehuda, since Yerushalayim is, so to speak, the worst city to see b'churbona, and you did Kriya then when you move on to the Orei Yehuda, you would no longer need to do Kriya. Since most people, when they come to Eretz Yisrael, they come, you arrive in Ben Gurion Airport, and you work your way from Tel Aviv towards Yerushalayim, so you're coming in that direction, so you would already see Yerushalayim before you'd even go to Orei Yehuda. I suppose those people who would arrive in Eilat and travel the other direction, then this Shaila would arise and you would need to do Kriya according to this second reason. Now we just mentioned that one of the reasons for not having to do Kriya is because you've come to Yerushalayim first and you did Kriya on Yerushalayim. We're not yet talking about the Kosel, but the city of Yerushalayim. That's also halach in Shulchan Aruch. Horoya Yerushalayim b'churbona. Somebody sees Yerushalayim as it was once, now in destruction. What do I mean by that? The new Jerusalem, that's not a question. That's not Yerushalayim b'churbona. But if you see the old city, which used to be when the Beis HaMikdash stood, if you see it now b'churbona, there's halacha, Kriya, you need to do Kriya. There's halacha of Kriya when you see Yerushalayim. And that's what the Tanoim Vadai did Kriya on. When they saw the city of Yerushalayim, they saw it b'churbona, they did Kriya.
So Korban is in Orei Yehuda.
There were cities there.
Yeah. They don't exist.
They're destroyed. If we would know where those cities were, we would do Kriya. But Yerushalayim, we definitely don't know it is. It's b'churbona. And that's what they did their Kriya on. And Shulchan Aruch brings that you're supposed to do Kriya when you see Yerushalayim. And we're referring to the Iratika, the old city, sorry?
The old city.
Yeah, because the new part of Yerushalayim wasn't there. So it's not b'churbona. It's what was there which was destroyed. That's what you need to do Kriya on. I don't know anybody who actually does Kriya on Yerushalayim. But it is a discussion, and Shulchan Aruch brings it. Rav Moshe Feinstein has two tshuvas on the subject of doing Kriya on the city of Yerushalayim. And he writes that nowadays, Baruch Hashem, the city is built, Benuya Letiferes, those are the words he uses. Baruch Hashem, you go, especially go to the Jewish quarter today, it's beautiful how it's built up. That's no longer considered Horoi Yerushalayim b'churbona. It is true we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but the city of Yerushalayim is built up beautifully. It's no longer under the Roshus of the Goyim. So logically, says Rav Moshe, there's no chiv to do Kriya because it's not b'churbona. It's got to be Yerushalayim. If Yerushalayim was desolate 100 years ago, they probably would have done Kriya. I'm sure they did do Kriya when they saw Yerushalayim. But now it's built up beautifully. There's no chiv to do Kriya. Lemaise, if we're talking about the old city, it's really only a quarter of the old city which is built up, as like we just said, as the words of Ramesha, Benuya Letiferes. To go in the streets of the old city today is absolutely beautiful. But only a few steps down, you go to the Muslim quarter, the Armenian quarter, Christian quarter, it's certainly not Benuya Letiferes, and it's definitely not ours. So what Ramesha means is that it's under our control. The control of Yerushalayim, the old city, our old city is beautiful, and the rest of Yerushalayim is under our control. But it's interesting that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he's chaylik on Rav Moshe. He holds that it is true that Yerushalayim is under Israeli control. But to the extent of the control, it's not full. Meaning, can the Israelis go on the Temple Mount and try and get rid of their mosque, to try and get rid of their Avodah Zarah in the churches? That's impossible. So although theoretically it's under Israeli control, of an Amaisa, it's not really, really. We don't have full control. As long as you've still got the mosques and the churches, the Avodah Zarah, it can't be totally under our control. So Shlomo Zalman says, from that angle, Yutaka don't have a p'tur not to do Kriya on the city of Yerushalayim. I'll add an extra piece. This is highly controversial, and it's not my own opinion, that even Yerushalayim, which is under control, it's not under the control of Torah. It's not under control of a government which is run on Pi'at Torah. So therefore it's not really called Yerushalayim Benuya. It's still Bechur Bona. That is, so we actually have three opinions. We've got Moshe Feinstein who says it's Benuya L'Tiferes. And he obviously is not Misyachis to that opinion that the Israeli government does not share the Torah mitzvahs. Then we've got Rosh Hashanah Zalman who says it's not fully under our control. Yeah, we have to be very careful with political, I know. But then you have this third opinion. It's brought to the Svarim that it's even the control which we have, it's not Torah Dikaon, and therefore it's still considered Bechur Bona. Probably when we say that, I don't think anybody here has ever done Kriya on Yerushalayim, and we are Seimach, the Welt is Seimach, on that opinion of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Kedai, Rav Moshe Nismeich Olof, that we don't do Kriya on Yerushalayim because it's our city, it's Benuya L'Tiferes. However, there's one area where everybody agrees that the Chi of Kriya still exists. And that is what Shulchan Aruch brings, Beis HaMikdash, which means when you see the place where the Beis HaMikdash stood, there's the site, there's no sorer site than to go there and to see the mosque where Beis HaMikdash stood. That's Vaday a reason, and there's no logical Petur as such for doing Kriya on the Mokum HaMikdash. We're going to explain there's certain ways to get out of it, but the Chiyuv Vaday exists to do Kriya where the Beis HaMikdash stood. There is a Shaila, what exactly do you need to see in order to be Mechayiv the Kriya? The note says doing Kriya when you see the Kosel. It's not the Kosel as such. According to some, you have to see exactly where the Beis HaMikdash stood, in other words, see the floor. It is broad, I've seen this quoted, people who live in Yerushalayim and don't necessarily go to the Kosel the whole time. As we know, this halacha of doing Kriya is if you haven't seen the Mokum HaMikdash within 30 days. So there are some people who are trying to go within every 30 days. Rav Eliyashiv Zayin Gezunt, apparently he used to go near where he lived, this Breslov Yeshiva. Breslov Yeshiva, a very tall building, he used to go on top of the yeshiva on the roof to be able to look down on the Mokum HaMikdash within every 30 days. So it wouldn't be Mechayiv him to do Kriya. But there's an opinion that you have to see the floor in order to do the Kriya, which according to that is a heter. Most people, I don't think I've ever seen, I want to complain over Yerushalayim. I don't think that anybody regularly sees the ground where the Beis HaMikdash stood. Oh, but sorry?
The top of the Churva,
oh, the new Churva.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been to the top of the new Churva, El Charama. Yeah, there are places where you can see it. But Lamais and Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't actually bring that you have to see the ground. It sees where the Beis HaMikdash stood, you have to do Kriya. What is the... So I don't know, Baruch Hashem, everybody here has been to Yerushalayim, has been to the Kosel. I'm not sure if everybody's done Kriya. What are the heterim not to do Kriya? There is a way which people do is to be makne their clothes to somebody else. I'm wearing my jacket. Before I arrive at the Mokum HaMikdash, I makne my clothes to another person, and then I, so to speak, borrow them back. I'm now wearing borrowed clothes. I can't do Kriya on somebody else's garment. Some people say you actually have to do it mefurish. You need to say, I'm now lending you these clothes on the condition that you're not going to do Kriya on it. So it's, in other words, it's a way out. We'll come to that. It's a bit strange trying to find a way. Dan Abraham told me, Lemaisa, people who go regularly, means just over every 30 days, who go regularly to visit Eretz Yisrael, it's difficult to say that each time they're going to have to do Kriya, because, you know, you've got your clothes. Other people, Agav, saying, I'm not going into this halacha, you don't have to do Kriya mamish, like you do Rachman al-Islam on Avelis. You could do it on the lining. Be that as it may, this heter is known in the world. I saw the Sefer, Rav Moshe Sternbuch is very unhappy with it, not from the angle of what you're trying to get out of Avelus. His angle is that the Hilchus Kinyan doesn't work. Because if you make a Kinyan for the sole purpose to get out of doing Kriya, that means it's not a full Maisa Kinyan, therefore he's not happy with it. But I heard from my son that Moiri Varebi of Ron Gurovitz, he does this. So I phoned him up, and I asked him, is it true that you're makne your clothes? He said, it's not my heter. It's an accepted heter, which Gedolim do. be said, but you've got to make sure that when you do such a kinyan, it's done in Hilchus Meiser Kinyan. And kinyonim are not poshut. If there's one person in the world who you can be sure knows kinyonim, Ron Gurvitz has written a whole sefer on kinyonim, and my son told me when he does it, he follows exactly what Rosh Hashiva tells him, to all Hilchus Meiser Kinyan. So I don't know exactly the kinyonim, exactly how to do it. So in order to avoid the problem of doing kriya at the kosel through this way of being makne clothes, you have to know Hilchus Kinyonim better or well. Mr. Klein just mentioned there are some people who try to avoid the whole problem by making sure that they go at a time when it's also to do kriya on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos, of course, you're not allowed to do kriya, but that's not always so practical to go on Shabbos. And as well, there are poskim who say, if you went on Shabbos to the kosel, on Matzah Shabbos you need to do kriya. That's a machlekes. Rav Shlomo Zalman says you don't need to. But there are others who say, if you go on Shabbos, on Matzah Shabbos you need to do kriya. Where have you found any heter? No, I've never found any heter.
It was Shabbos as well.
We'll come to Mitzvah to that. I had a mu'adika kasha on the Gemara we just mentioned earlier. And this kasha has bothered me very much, and I haven't found anybody, any safe who's asked this kasha. It's a very, very clear kasha. We mentioned there are three areas, three occasions where you need to do kriya. Or a Yehuda, Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdosh. We asked previously why these Tanoim didn't do kriya on the Or a Yehuda. We answered geographically. They did do kriya when they came on top of Har HaTzefa when they saw Yerushalayim. But why didn't they do kriya when they arrived at the Mokam HaMikdosh? The Gemara says, when they came to the Mokam HaMikdosh, they saw the fox going out of the Beis HaMikdosh, started to cry. Why didn't they do kriya? In Shulchan Aruch, and it's Gemara Mokam, it says, Mefurish. You do kriya when you arrive at Har HaTzefa, and when you arrive at the Mokam HaMikdosh, you do another kriya. And there's no mention of that in the Gemara, that they did a second kriya. And that's a very, very strong kasha. I thought to suggest an answer, but I'm going to explain afterwards that it's also able to suggest such an answer. So I'm saying it b'derech pilpul. And that is, the Mishnah Berurah brings, in the name of the Bach, then when you do kriya, it's not just an act of tearing clothes. The Mishnah Berurah brings, in the name of the Bach, that when you do kriya, shechayev ishtachavo is to bow down, to tear esbegodo velivkois, and to start crying on the churban. Possibly through these words of the Bach, the tachlis of doing kriya is to make a person cry, is to induce sadness. So possibly, it's a chiddush, as I say, that when the Gemara talks about these tanoim, they arrived at Har HaTzefim, they did kriya. Then they arrived at the Mokam HaMikdosh, says the Gemara clearly, they started to cry. So possibly I was thinking, if they automatically cried, there's no longer a chiyuv to do kriya, because the crying came by itself. The whole chiyuv of kriya is to induce crying. However, to say such a teretz, that's based on two hanochas, two understandings. Number one, that the reason for tearing is in order to cause a person to cry. That's a massive chiddush. And much more problematic is, even if we say that the reason for doing kriya is to make a person cry, who gives me the right, therefore if a person cries, he doesn't need to do kriya? If the halacha is you need to do kriya, that's a halacha without reason. Even when the reason doesn't apply, even if the person is crying, mehecha teisi, you don't have the mitzvah of kriya. Go to that a bit deeper. There is a minug, as Mr. Klein mentioned, of not doing kriya on Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. Kemat, all the poskim that mention this, write that there is no source for such a heter. I had the schus to take Rabbi Lef in my car a couple of days ago. He spoke in our school. And I discussed this inyu with him. And he also said, there's no poysuk who actually brings this as an original heter on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos not to do kriya. Nevertheless, that is the accepted minhag. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very important tshuva on this. He says, I've seen in the Sefer from Tukuchinsky, which we mentioned earlier, he says that perhaps the reason for the chiyuv of tearing one's clothes is to cause a person to be bitzar, to be upset. Therefore, if on Erev Shabbos a person was to do kriya, that would make him upset, and you'd bring that tsar into Shabbos. And therefore, that's a possible reason not to do kriya on Erev Shabbos, because it brings a person to tsar, and we don't want a person to be bitzar on Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe, it's very interesting, this next line, how a gadol views a minhag. He says, even though this minhag of not doing kriya on Erev Shabbos is not lefi gedolei Yisrael, it has no real makor. Nevertheless, since Klal Yisrael have accepted this minhag, and yesh ta'am ktsas, since there's a bit of a svara we've just mentioned, since Klal Yisrael have accepted the minhag, and it's a bit of a ktsas ta'am, therefore you can continue such a thing. Interesting. In other words, if there would be no svara in the world, Rav Moshe would say, can't just make a minhag like that. But since Klal Yisrael lemaisa have accepted this minhag, and there's a bit of a reason, then you can continue. But Rav Moshe says, this whole hanocha, that the reason for doing kriya is in order to cause a person to have tsar, says, I don't agree with that at all. And he talks about the real maisa kriya on Avelus. He says, there's no hanocha that a person who's an Ovar Rachman Litzon has to be betzar. There's no such halacha. And more than that, there's no halacha that do an action to make you betzar. There's no such halacha, says Rav Moshe. So to say that the reason that we do kriya on the Beis HaMikdash is in order to cause a person to have tzar, and therefore we wouldn't do it on Erev Shabbos, that's not the reason for kriya. There's no halacha to do an action to bring a person to tzar. The mitzvah is avelus, not tzar. That's the inyan also, when you cry, when you do kriya, the inyan is covered. Rachmana Litzlan, it's covered hames, and in this situation, it's covered for the Beis HaMikdosh. That's why you're tearing, not to give your person tzar. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, I don't understand, you shouldn't do it on Erev Shabbos because it's going to give you tzar. That's not the reason. It is true, says Rav Moshe, that if you do it, it does bring a person to tzar. But that's not the tachlis of the kriya. Rav Moshe Feinstein finishes this tshuva with a very important line. And he says, Bechlal, I'm bothered by this whole thing. He says, I can't understand. There's a mefurish, a gemara, Shulchan Aruch, based on psukim in Yirmiyah, that there's a mitzvah to do kriya when you see the Mokum HaMikdosh. He says, "Loi," I quote his words, "Loi muvan, I cannot understand bakoshas tamim." To start looking for reasons behind why you're doing the mitzvah. Ledova hamefurish bepsukim. It's something written mefurish in the psukim, which is Gemara quotes in Moed Katan and in Shulchan Aruch, that you need to do kriya. Why are you looking for reasons why you have to do kriya? And this is what I was saying earlier. I suggested that perhaps the reason why they didn't do the Tanoim, didn't do kriya when they arrived at the Mokum HaMikdosh, is because they started to cry themselves. And the tachlis of the kriya is to cry. Rav Moshe says, who gives you the right to start looking for reasons behind mitzvahs and then basing halachas based on what you think the reason is? Don't look for reasons. And I want to connect this to a vort on this week's Sedra. This week's Sedra Parshas Mishpatim, we have the famous two words of Naaseh v'Nishma. The Beis HaLevi has three different pshatim in what exactly is the gutless of Klal Yisrael saying Naaseh v'Nishma. The one which is perhaps not so famous, I'd like to share with you now. If you look through the Sefer Chinuch, for example, and other Rishonim, they give reasons behind mitzvahs. Why we do such mitzvahs? Earlier, the Rambam, the Moreh Nevuchim, the Shem Shem Fol Hesh, they give reasons. Is it mutzah? Well, obviously it is. So we wanted to look for reasons behind mitzvahs. This is a question which the Beis HaLevi discusses. Is there a mitzvah? Are you allowed to look? Is there a mitzvah? This is a moed kavod. The Zohar says on Naseh v'nishma, Naseh means we will do the mitzvahs. That fits in the words Naseh, we will do the mitzvahs. Nishma means we will learn Torah. According to this Pshat of the Beis HaLevi, he explains like this. Your first commitment must be Naseh. We are going to do the mitzvahs irrespective of the reason behind the mitzvah. We're not going to listen to the mitzvah, decide, this mitzvah makes sense, this doesn't make sense, I'm going to now do my mitzvah based on my understanding. Or, I will listen to the reason behind the mitzvah and then extrapolate how I want to perform the mitzvah and when I don't think it's needed. Naseh, we will make a commitment to fulfill the mitzvahs in all circumstances, whether the reason does apply, whether the reason doesn't apply. After that comes Nishma. Nishma means, and there's a mitzvah, says the Beis HaLevi, to delve into the reasons behind the mitzvah. We will never understand fully all the Tameha mitzvahs. But there's a mitzvah to understand the mitzvah, the reason behind the mitzvah. But that should never be a precondition to fulfillment of the mitzvah. Therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein was talking about doing Kriya on Erev Shabbos. We are talking about not needing to do Kriya when anyway you're crying. Even if I was right, that the time for the Kriya is to cause crying, that never gives a heter that when you all cry, when you cry by yourself, when you start crying, when you see the Makkavim, therefore you don't need to do Kriya. That would be going against the Naseh v'Nishma. If so, we're still left with a very strong kasha. Why these Tanoim didn't do Kriya when they arrived and they saw the Mokam HaMikdash? I said I haven't found this question in any sefer. I spoke to a very good friend of mine, Joseph Perlman, a Rebbe of mine, and he said, I don't know if you remember, he used to produce for our school a weekly Parsha Sheet HaMeir. And he goes and he gets out from his archives and he asks this question. And interesting enough, I was speaking to a Chava from Eretz Yisrael and I told him this kasha and I was amazed. I said, I haven't found it in any safe. He said, no, I remember reading it in Joseph Perlman's pamphlet, Murder. And Joseph gave him his brilliant answer. He said, in Shulchan Aruch, if you look carefully, it says, at Ora Yehuda, you need to do Kriya. And the next stage you need to do Kriya is Umehechon Chayev Lekriya. When are you supposed to do Kriya when you see Yerushalayim? Min HaTzofim, from Tzofim. If you look in the Gemara, in Moed Katan, where you're supposed to do Kriya on Yerushalayim, it's from Tzofim. What exactly is Tzofim? There's a Machlokes Rashi Tosfos in Psachim. Is Tzofim Har HaTzofim? Or is it a place called Tzofim? This Gemara, it talks about the Tanoim, says they arrived at Har HaTzofim. Shulchan Aruch talks about Tzofim, suggests Joseph, it's a brilliant answer. The halacha is, if you come to a point and you see Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, Churban Beis HaMikdash, you don't need to do two separate kriyas. So these Tanoim arrived at Har HaTzofim. And when you stand on the top of Har HaTzofim, automatically you see Yerushalayim and the Mokam HaMikdash. So they only needed to do one Kriya. When Shulchan Aruch says, and the Gemara Moed Katan, when you arrive at Tzofim, you need to do one Kriya. And you arrive at the Mokam HaMikdash, you need to do a second Kriya. That's not Har HaTzofim. That's according to Rashi, there's a different place called Tzofim. And from that place you can't see the Mokam HaMikdash. Since you can't see the Mokam HaMikdash, you do one Kriya when you arrive at Tzofim, and another Kriya when you arrive at the Mokam HaMikdash. Oh, but these Tanoim stood on top of Har HaTzofim, and from that moment they were able to see both things. So, Zmachlokes, do you need to do one long Kriya, or just one Kriya, two Kriyas? That's irrelevant. The Maisa, they only needed to do Kriya on Har HaTzofim. They didn't need to do a Kriya on when they arrived at Mokam HaMikdash, because they'd already seen it from top of Har HaTzofim. I hope in Mitzvah Shem that next time we go to Eretz Yisrael, these shailas will no longer be Negea, will no longer be Yerushalayim Bechurbana, of Yerushalayim Benuyah LeTiferes, according to everybody. Yeah.